It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As part of ongoing coverage of homelessness in Wisconsin, we hear from the state's housing authority on efforts to increase affordable housing options, and we explore the view of property developers on workforce housing. You can be part of this discussion along the way. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brad Boix is executive director of the Wisconsin Builders Association, representing 4,000 members in the home building industry. Brad, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And Elmer Moore Jr. is CEO and executive director of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. Elmer, welcome.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be here.
Yes, Elmer, let's start with you. The new state budget includes $525 million for affordable housing developments. How does this funding aim to support people experiencing housing insecurity?
Thank you for asking about that. We are really elated to have the resources in the amount of $525 million, an unprecedented investment in housing. This was the result of bipartisan effort to recognize the crisis that is we're experiencing across the state as it relates to housing, and particularly affordable housing. I want to make sure that we're clear that the issue of homelessness is a bit more complex than just a housing crisis, but we expect to support the construction of many new units through a multitude of bills, including the Main Street housing bill, which will allow the conversion of second and third floor vacant spaces into new housing units. Commercial to conversion, which will allow us to support the redevelopment of former commercial sites into housing, and our infrastructure support. There are communities across the state who are excited to welcome development, but the developers are unwilling to take on the cost burden of laying water pipes and other important infrastructure elements without significant support from WIDA, from the municipalities, and so on. And so we expect, as we can affect the housing supply, it will obviously have an impact on those experiencing homelessness.
Yes. How is the housing crisis that Wisconsin is experiencing, how is it more complex when you factor in homelessness?
Thank you for really shedding a light on this issue. So, you know, we have started talking about the housing crisis as an everything problem. A lack of affordable housing has consequences that can be measured in health outcomes, in educational outcomes, and certainly in workforce outcomes. And similarly, homelessness is an issue of not just having enough supply in housing stock, but it's an issue of inadequate access to education, workforce development. It's often a health issue. People are falling into homelessness, experiencing homelessness because of health concerns, because of the inability to pay for their health bills. They are often unable to access family supporting jobs because they are forced to make terrible decisions between working or childcare. And I'm so excited to remind everyone that the governor made an incredible investment to support childcare in the state of $170 million because inadequate access to childcare can result in homelessness. Mm-hmm. People are making hard decisions about where to spend their limited dollars. And unfortunately, sometimes that results in insufficient amounts to support rent or mortgage, and people are losing their homes. So it's a multifaceted problem that requires collaboration and coordination across a multitude of stakeholders. And that is obviously the state in the form of its agencies, that's partnerships with nonprofits that are supporting the development of workforce, the childcare system, and obviously builders and developers who are actually building the units in which people can reside.
And that is a proper segue there. Brad Boyx at the Wisconsin Builders Association. This summer, state lawmakers passed several measures to increase the supply of workforce housing in our state. How do you feel about the steps that are being taken by lawmakers to address housing?
Yeah, thank you. Great question. You know, this, Mr. Moore had mentioned, I mean, this effort was really, you know, a very impressive effort, took a lot of time. The housing chairs of both the Senate and the Assembly, Representative Brooks, Senator Quinn, you know, we had ourselves at the table, the realtors, the League of Municipalities, the Counties Association, the Towns Association, and we worked hand in hand with WEDA. You know, this was about, you know, almost a year and a half, even before these bills were introduced, kind of working out all of the details. So it was really a collaborative effort. You know, it was, we've seen in the last few sessions, it doesn't matter what lawmaker we go to talk to, you could have the most conservative or the most liberal, housing has risen up. Where you might, you know, we'd be obviously talking about it, but we didn't necessarily have that many, as many members of the legislature having it be the first thing that we talk about when we go into meet. But that's, we could tell that there is, you know, certainly a crisis here. So it was really a great effort to work on all of these different bills over the summer, and bipartisan votes in both houses. Governor signed them into law, and then to have the, you know, significant investment by the Joint Finance Committee. It's really been a pleasure to work on these. And we believe, you know, all of the bills touch on different areas. You know, it's interesting, Mr. Moore mentioned, you know, those bills. You know, the one that we think is going to be the most valuable is the loan program for infrastructure. When we talk to our members throughout the state, the one thing that is a constant is the development process is obviously expensive. That infrastructure is expensive. And it's, you know, regardless if you're building in a rural area or a suburb, those fixed costs, you know, reign regardless of where you're developing. So we believe that that's going to be a significant investment and hopefully make the difference on the margins where, you know, a workforce housing development may not pencil out for a developer, but with this new loan program, that might make that something that they can move forward with and increase the housing supply. And that's obviously been a huge priority of the Wisconsin Builders Association over the past several years, just to increase, you know, workforce housing, apartments, you know, really raising and building more houses really of all levels is going to be good for people at all levels, because we have, you know, we don't have a big churn of housing anymore with, unfortunately, with interest rates. So we really, you know, one of the ways that we can see an immediate difference is to, you know, simply build more housing. And we believe that these initiatives will do just that.
Brad, when you shine a light there on infrastructure and making the land ready to develop, to put up housing, which costs associated with building homes affect property developers the most as they try to pencil out these jobs, these projects?
Yeah, excellent question. You know, I think one thing, and I don't know that it's widely known when people are looking at housing, but you know, the developer, when they go in to take either redevelop infill projects or when they go to develop raw land, you know, the infrastructure, that would be the sidewalks, you know, the pipes underground, the streets, you know, all of those things are paid for by the developer. And then they're dedicated over to the municipality after completion of the project. Then the municipality takes possession of those and then maintains it. But all of those upfront costs are, you know, those, that cost falls on the balance sheet of the developer. And then obviously that goes into the final price of the home. So if you can take some of that, and what these loans are, you know, specifically the infrastructure loan, you know, getting that, a portion of that development cost at 0% would, you know, again, that might make the difference in making some of these developments pencil out. You know, and the one thing that's interesting about all of these bills, they all have kind of the similar process and similar requirements where a developer works with a municipality hand in hand, and then the developer goes to WEDA to try to get any of these loans. And the municipalities are basically, and this is something that Mr. Moore and his team are working very hard on, and we're trying to work collaboratively with them, you know, any municipality that wants to get access or developer wants to get access to these loans are going to be scored higher if they're showing, you know, ways that they're working within their community to bring down the cost of housing. And that could be a laundry list of things, you know, narrower sidewalks, narrower streets. You know, the one big thing is providing or allowing for more density. Allowing for greater density brings down the cost. You know, smaller lots with smaller homes are obviously going to be cheaper than bigger homes on bigger lots. So that's something that we're working through. And we're also working with, you know, the league and our partners on that piece as well to try to, you know, better educate. In this whole process, we've been working, all those groups have been working together. We're continuing to do that. As these loan programs get ready, you know, to be pushed out and actually have developers look and apply for those. So that's kind of the, you know, the backstory on that development cost.
Brad Boyx leads the Wisconsin Builders Association. We also have Elmer Moore Jr. oversees the state's Housing and Economic Development Authority that also goes by the acronym WEDA. As we look at efforts to improve housing stability across our state, you can join in at any point with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Elmer, last week on our show, we spoke with Michael Bassford, director of the Interagency Council on Homelessness, and Bassford talked about the need for more funding of housing developments in the state.
It requires a substantial investment that cannot be denied. We have learned in the past that it is actually less expensive for communities to put people into housing rather than to keep them on the streets experiencing homelessness.
Do you support that funding more housing developments is less expensive than the cost associated with people living on the streets?
So I want to be careful to not get too far over my skis and describe the impact to entities that aren't my own, where I don't have full transparency of their budgets. But just as a citizen, that absolutely pencils out to me. When I think about, again, the relationship between housing or a lack thereof, and its impacts on health, education, the justice system, it absolutely makes sense to me. If you look at, for instance, the cost of housing and supporting someone who is incarcerated, we are exceeding the cost. Incarceration exceeds the cost of housing development on a per person basis. So absolutely, we need to double, triple down our investment in housing. You know, one of the things that we're advocating for is an expansion of our state tax credit program. Currently, we are administering a $42 million tax credit program at the state level, and we would love to see it expanded to 100 or beyond. And it's those kinds of legislative changes that we're asking for the public to support. We're asking the public to recognize the individual cost of insufficient housing and not supporting those who are experiencing homelessness on individual citizens. Mm-hmm. And it's through very small investments at the collective level, we can have extraordinary impact at the state level.
Elmer Moore Jr. there, Executive Director and CEO of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, part of Governor Tony Evers' cabinet. Brad Boyx with us as well, leads the Wisconsin Builders Association trade group. You can be part of this housing discussion. Call in with a question. Share your views. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine how to expand affordable housing across Wisconsin communities and efforts to help reduce housing insecurity. We have Elmer Moore Jr., Executive Director and CEO of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. Brad Boyx is here, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Builders Association. We heard from Allison in La Crosse called in, and Allison would like to pose the question to both of you, wondering, why couldn't we look to all the abandoned malls in every town, and why can't they be adapted into housing? Brad, you first.
Great question. And that was one of the things that when we started down this path, I don't know that it was necessarily on our radar screen, but we quickly, the whole collective, we, all of the groups that I had discussed earlier, thought that this was a good idea and something that absolutely needed to be addressed. So one of those bills, actually Act 18, has funds from WIDA to do just that. The Commercial to Housing Conversion Revolving Loan Fund, which was funded at $100 million through the state budget and signed into law by Governor Evers, does just that. It basically gives grants or loans, I should say, loans to either convert or demolish those commercial spaces. You know, sometimes I think depending on the building's age, you know, and when what you're going to look to do with it, remodeling is certainly an option. I think in other instances, obviously, it's going to be more likely maybe to demolish those and start over. But, you know, that is an excellent point that is one thing. And another bill that was passed there, you know, the conversion of second and third floor space above downtown commercial. Again, that was not an issue necessarily that we first started talking about, but it makes sense. And you can kind of see when we talk to various groups and legislators about that bill, about that provision, you can kind of see them thinking of going through their districts in areas where there's, you know, vacant, you know, at one point probably was used for multifamily, but is no longer and could use obviously some renovations. And that, you know, that's going to be good too. That puts people close to downtown, you know, people that may work downtown would have an opportunity to rent in that converted space. So I think the legislature and the governor did a great job of addressing that and passing those provisions to fund that type of program.
Elmer, what comes up for you as you look toward the commercial to housing conversion loans and that program?
So I think it's worth mentioning we have officially named that program Vacancy to Vitality. And in that name, we are really describing what we believe the opportunity is there. Again, the governor was able to fund that program at $100 million. We believe it can have really phenomenal impact across the state. Brad, it's worth me saying we are so grateful for the partnership and collaboration that you've demonstrated and offered throughout this process. We've got a lot of work to do, and we are just at the beginning. I'm really grateful for Allison's questions because while Brad answered brilliantly about the immediate program that we're using to address this, I think it's worth adding a little bit of context. One of the challenges for affordable housing and for folks experiencing homelessness is that we forget who we're really talking about. Affordable housing has an unfortunate stigma. If you look at the numbers and who we are able to serve using our existing portfolio of products and legislative responsibilities, we're talking about people up to 140% of the AMI, which really means people that are making 1.4 times the median income for their community. That's not a so-called them. That's not a collection of folks who are unable to get jobs because of some other infraction. We're talking about folks that have great jobs, teachers and our public servants. We're talking about the folks that really make life comfortable and livable for the rest of us. And as it relates to people experiencing homelessness, I want to remind everyone that we're not limiting that to the people who are unfortunately unsheltered and potentially sleeping on the street. We're talking about folks that are experiencing homelessness who might be staying on a friend's or family member's sofa or sleeping on their floor. And so when we expand our understanding of the folks that need support as it relates to housing and affordable housing, it's so many people. It's the folks that we work with, the folks that we eat and enjoy. It's the folks that we love. It's our family members and friends.
Elmer, I'm sorry to jump in. I just want to thank you for that.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for that clarity. I do want to bring in Greg in Milwaukee. Greg, go ahead.
What's your view on capping industrial toxic waste sites and building on top of them with a venting system through the building? There are big problems at community in the corridor in Milwaukee.
Greg, thank you. Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not terribly familiar, unfortunately, with that process. You know, I would say any efforts to do infill projects and redevelop land as long as it's going to be safe and remediated. You know, that's certainly, you know, something I think as an option. You know, when we look at infill projects, those have been very popular over the last few years. There's a number of them in really different populated communities throughout the state. And that's something that, you know, we certainly think is part of the mix as far as providing additional housing for Wisconsin families.
Elmer, your thoughts there on remediation and these sites that have been formerly industrial?
Yeah, it's really disappointing when ever there's an incident in which families are put in serious health and safety risk. We don't condone it. However, we understand that there's places across Wisconsin, and particularly in Milwaukee, that are formerly industrial sites that we would like to believe could be an effective opportunity to expand housing. To do that safely requires collaboration between a multitude of agencies and stakeholders, the city, the municipalities, the Department of Natural Resources, and so on and so on. I think it can be done effectively, but it requires extreme attention to detail. And I want to make clear that at WEDA, we bias for people. And so what matters more to us is that people and families are safe. So we want to make sure that we support activities that do that.
Well, thank you both for touching on such a multifaceted issue. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Elmer Moore Jr. is Executive Director and CEO of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. Brad Boykes is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Home Builders Association, representing the industry. Here on The Morning Show, we're producing a range of conversations about homelessness and housing insecurity. And you can find links to recent segments in this ongoing coverage. And you can also share all of your program ideas you have on housing. Bring them to the table. Connect with us at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.